I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
With rising energy prices, President Biden was under growing political pressure to make a move.
So today I'm announcing that the largest ever release from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help provide a supply we need as we recover from this pandemic.
Five other nations, including China, have agreed to make similar withdrawals from their own stockpiles.
We're launching a major effort to moderate the price of oil, an effort that will span the globe in its reach and ultimately reach your corner gas station, God willing.
All of this comes after pandemic lockdowns had slashed the demand for oil last year. But when the U.S. economy revved back into gear, renewed demand outpaced supply. Nationwide, average gas prices have spiked to nearly $3.40 a gallon. That's up more than 50% from a year ago.
Well, and of course, things have changed again. That might have sounded familiar to you, because it is. That was Biden in November 2023, announcing he was going to tap into our strategic oil reserve, pulling 50 million barrels of oil out of what we had. Now, I'll remind you again, when Trump left office, we were energy independent, and we had tapped off the strategic reserve at 600 million plus barrels of oil. And now, who knows really what the number is? How many times Biden has tapped into it? And when he tapped into it at that point, again, strategic reserves means strategic reserves, not strategic political needs. And he was doing that in November 2023, just before Thanksgiving travel. Look at the timing. What a coinky-dinky. And it's not getting better. We're going to begin to break this down for you, but first of all, let me set the stage. Glad to have you with us. April 4, 2024. We were talking about Biden in 2023, and we'll go back to that issue again, but here we are in 2024, and we're not getting any better, are we? April 4, 2024. And reminding you, when we're on the air from 6 to 8 every Monday through Friday, we are, in fact, also streaming video. You can watch the program at News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or, of course, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. If you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and you can pull it up. And one other thing to keep in mind, News Talk STL is your number one conservative talk station in the area. And there's going to be more evidence of that as we move forward and George Soros begins to take over two other supposed talk stations conservative in the market. And they have been. And I've got good friends working at both of them, and I fear for what's going to happen to them. Although one communicated to me, well, it's not going to be as bad as you think. Well, how bad do you think it would be when we thought George Soros was going to be putting in attorney generals across the nation and St. Louis City got Kim Gardner? How bad did that go? What could go wrong, right? Perfect example. All right, so you heard then and that report of where the gas prices are. Have you paid attention lately, or you just pull up and say, I'm just going to bite the bullet. As long as I got it, I'm going to do it. And if you're going to spend your time driving around looking for lower prices, you're wasting whatever fuel you had. Now, there are folks that this is a critical decision as to how much gas they can put in and when. And I feel for them because the squeeze is getting tighter every single day. They're stating now, according to AAA, as the report late yesterday, the national average price for regular gas topping $5.54 a gallon. This is a spike of more than 45% under Joe Biden. 45%. Oh, boy, everything's doing. We're doing great. We're doing good. No, we're really not. And Americans are suffering in the process. The AAA pointed out just in the past month, gas prices went up 20 cents, about a dollar more expensive than when Trump left office. May I repeat that? The AAA says your gas prices are about a dollar more expensive as they went up last month in 20 cents than when Trump left office. And we are more dependent upon others than ever before. And what did Biden do? One of the first things he came in was cancel the Keystone Pipeline, shut it down. There's still that pipe laying along areas where they were going to put it in the ground. There's still ditches dug. It's not being done. And, of course, all those workers suddenly out of jobs, and all of those communities along the way where the pipeline was going to be laid, looking to the pipeline moving toward them and the work crews, the money they were going to make, restaurants, lodging, entertainment, went away. Again, according to this time Goldman Sachs, they're saying basically, according to Goldman Sachs, by May, and regular gas currently at $3.54 a gallon, they're predicting by May it will be $4. That's not too many days away, is it? And my concern is that Biden might once again try to jump into the oil reserves and pull more out when it comes to Labor Day time. So, not Labor Day, but Memorial Day. So maybe you can actually have a chance to go out and travel without any trouble. Have you tried to buy an airline flight lately? Have you noticed those prices? It's all reflected. Let's go back and look at a report as filed by PBS on the history of the oil reserve, and when you listen to it, you're going to hear a question raised to Biden, and when you hear his answer, you're going to say, damn, he gets it, but he's not doing anything about it.
In 1973, after the Middle Eastern members of OPEC cut off oil exports to the U.S., President Gerald Ford signed a law creating the emergency stockpile. The U.S.'s reserves are located along the Gulf Coast in underground salt caverns at four major facilities in Louisiana and Texas. They hold more than 600 million barrels of petroleum. But Mr. Biden's move comes at a complicated moment, with his administration trying to strike a balance between boosting the economy while also cutting oil and gas use because of its impact on climate change. Days before last month's UN climate summit, the president was asked if he's being inconsistent.
Well, on the surface, it seems like an irony, but the truth of the matter is you've all known, everyone knows, that the idea we're going to be able to move to renewable energy overnight and not have, and from this moment on, not use oil or not use gas or not use hydrogen, it's just not rational.
But then why are you continuing to push electric vehicles on everyone and threatening no gas cars 2035? We're not going to be there by 2035. Why do you continue to push that? And they are. I'm looking at a piece Andrew, my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, boiled down from me, pointing out how sales of EVs are way down, demand is low, manufacturers reducing production, focusing on other vehicles, EV battery plants are closing, new plants being indefinitely delayed. And as he adds, EVs are the next ethanol bandwagon politicians and the donor class use to get rich off of you, and then they're going to move on to the next thing. So KJP was trying to explain the best she knows about the oil reserve. And when it came to the oil reserve, KJP is once again kind of clueless.
You guys started draining the strategic petroleum reserve to try and help with the Putin price hike a few years ago. Said you were going to refill it, but now it doesn't seem like that's happening. Why?
Well, from I believe the Department of Energy is responsible for that particular component, is refilling that. So I would refer you to the Department of Energy. I know there are certain components to that and how they were going to move forward in refilling it. They would have more specifics on that for you.
Yeah, because they don't have any plan to move forward. You can't refill it unless you're drilling, baby, and we're not. The oil companies are being accused, well, they got an opportunity. They could drill on some permits we give them. They're not going to put money in if you're going to tell them we're going to cancel everything out again. And then on top of that, on gas prices, I want to read you a couple of quotes from different sources. One out of California, a California resident said, since gas prices have gone up, I've had to get a new car, which is a gas saver for me. I used to have a truck I'd pump almost every day. Now it's every other day. Then you got a guy with a business in Dallas said, I just don't see it going down. If you want to drive further this summer, be prepared to pay more. The head of the petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy said consumers, quote, should not worry, quote, we're basically right on par with what we tend to see. Really? Thanks, Gas Buddy. We don't want to see this. And then there's this other issue. Because Biden is so anti-fossil fuels, even though he admitted, I know it's an irony, we're not going to get there overnight, but you're just going to have to suck it up, basically. Liquid propane is being exported, has been exported from the U.S. to other countries, bringing us some revenue, and liquid propane is very important for U.S. use. But KJP announcing, we're changing our attitude.
The president supports the pause on pending, obviously, additional approvals of LNG export licenses to evaluate the economic and climate impacts on consumers and communities. He supports that pause.
He supports it, which means nothing's being done. They're pausing everything. Liquid petroleum gas, liquid natural gas, it's the same thing, LNG, LPG. All right, coming up, we're going to get into this in more detail because there's also another line reference as to why the prices are going up, and that is instability in the Middle East, no kidding, and Ukraine. Well, speaking of Ukraine, today Secretary of State Blinken made a major announcement regarding Ukraine, not a surprise announcement, but still it just reinforces how much the Biden administration is committed to Ukraine on all fronts.
It is, as always, very good to be with my friend and colleague, Dmytro Kuleba, the foreign minister of Ukraine. We just came from a session with all NATO allies and Foreign Minister Kuleba, and I think it's safe to say that the support for Ukraine, the determination of every country represented here at NATO remains rock solid. Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership and to create a clear pathway for Ukraine moving forward.
We will be looking forward to the outcome, but of course we believe that Ukraine deserves to be a member of NATO and that this should happen sooner rather than later.
Sooner rather than later. Now, this is taking place at Brussels today, where they met to honor the 75th anniversary of the founding of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. All members who sign on, and the U.S. is one of them, agree to come to the defense of any NATO nation. So if Ukraine were actually in NATO right now, we would have to have boots on the ground in Ukraine to fight the Russians. And remember, Putin really went into Ukraine claiming they're going to try to go into NATO, and that would put American troops right outside our border. Can't allow it. But the attitude and the response set at that time from the Biden administration, no plans to do that, not going to do it. NATO said, we're not going to really vote to put them in anytime soon. Soon, so far. Last year, Biden made a statement that allies agree that Ukraine will become a member of NATO. That was last year. Now we're at that timing. And the German chancellor outlined that, saying Ukraine doesn't meet the criteria to be a member state. He says it's also clear that we have to discuss which security guarantees can be given in a post-war situation. But we are far from there yet, and now we're concentrating on what's coming up, and that's NATO's criteria include a whole series of conditions Ukraine cannot currently meet. One, they're at war with Russia. If you invite them in at this point and you make them a member, boom, the U.S. is direct war with Russia. 9 months ago, a German television broadcast outlined what the situation was 9 months ago. 9 months ago, where after Russia had already invaded Ukraine, what the situation was with Ukraine and NATO.
Ukrainians fight to defend the sovereignty of their country. And in the eyes of many in the West, they're also fighting and dying to defend European values. But who will guarantee the country's future security? Will it be the EU or rather the United States? Can Ukraine even be a full member of the Western military alliance, NATO? Or is joining the North Atlantic Treaty Organization just a pipe dream for Kiev?
It's not about whether Ukraine deserves or not. It's like whether all the others deserve Ukraine aspiring at.
Definitely. Ukraine should be in NATO. But a nation at war is not going to be admitted into the alliance.
We should now rather focus on helping Ukraine win this war and push the Russian troops back.
Now, I'm all about stopping the Russians, but of course we've dumped, I've lost count of how many billions of dollars in Ukraine already. And we're going to apparently continue. But if they actually end up becoming a member of NATO, if Russia stops everything now, holds its line, and Ukraine allows that to be a new line for Russia, as they did with Crimea, then everything settles down, then NATO can go, or Ukraine can approach NATO and say, okay, we're not fighting right now. Now can we come in the door? But I'm telling you, when they come in the door, they're going to be followed closely by Russia once again stepping things up. It is a delicate balance. My concern is that Russia knows current leadership in the U.S. is weak, ineffective, even non-existent. Coming up in the second hour, I've got a special guest I want you to hear from, Kenneth Abramowitz, author of The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. That's a damn long list, but we're going to try to break it down. That's in our next hour. So you want to make sure you're listening for that. Kenneth Abramowitz is a founder of the group called SaveTheWest.com, a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself, like the U.S. needs to save ourselves from ourselves when we have Biden and progressive regressives running our country. Now, we were talking about EVs earlier. Pete Buttigieg, even though while Biden admitted in a conference about a year ago, I know it seems hypocritical and everything that I'm talking about, you know, we're going to rely upon EVs, but we can't do it yet. Well, they're still pushing, aren't they? So we're going to get into that subject in more detail. That's coming up. As always, lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So sales fell 8.5% the first quarter of this year. Ford this week is laying off two-thirds of its workforce at the F-150 electric Lightning plant. It's also scaling back a battery production facility because of sagging sales. EV sales are nowhere near what this president wanted or expected. Yet the administration continues to shove them down consumers' throats. Why?
Well, let's be clear. Consumers have wanted and purchased more EVs every single year than the year before. And, you know, Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever. The reality is that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and the U.S. can either fall behind China or we can claim the lead. President Biden wants to make sure that those EVs are made in America, especially, again, as more Americans choose EVs every single year.
Yeah. If they do, we've got several points of contention here. Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. First of all, I don't want landlines. We discussed this yesterday. And I like horses, but I don't plan on riding a horse everywhere now. And I mentioned to you the other day, there were two EVs hooked up to one of the Tesla charging stations. They're the brand new looking, like almost like a miniature armored bank car. I mean, ugly as hell, Tesla products. And one guy looked at him and said, I wouldn't have one of those if he gave it to me. And he called it a CRAP. He might have used another word, but it came pretty close to that. Spelling starts with an S instead of a C, but you get the idea. And I was outlining for you, the reporter was raising his position as to how bad things are off of what I shared with you earlier that my boots on the ground correspondent Andrew had pointed out to me. Dealer organizations begging manufacturers of the government, stop pushing EVs, we can't sell them. And a perfect example is Hertz bought a bunch of EVs for rental cars. Yeah, we got a car for you. you show up and it's an EV. Well, hell, I'm driving to Texas. I can't stop every 300 miles, find the charging station, and wait for 2 hours to get a charge to continue. And if it gets hot, I'm going to be running the air conditioner. There goes the power. Or if I hit a snowstorm or ice storm, I got to run a defroster and everything. There goes some of my power, my mileage. Same thing happens, of course, if you have a gas vehicle. But you pull into a gas station anywhere, boom, you're in and out 30 seconds. Of course, if you can afford it with the prices. Back to those gas prices that we were discussing earlier. Breitbart News noting, gas prices are high by historical standards, and not just compared with the very low gas prices seen during the pandemic lockdowns, when the weekly national gas price did fall below $1.80 during the lockdowns. Nobody's going anywhere. In 2018, gasoline averaged around $2.72 a gallon. The following year, 19, $2.60, and eventually down to $1.80. But now everything's going the other way because of Bidenomics and because you're being pushed into buying these EVs, the EV battery plants. There's the other issue.
Now they're just not affordable. They're extremely expensive. I mean, the electricity obviously uses fossil fuels anyway to power these vehicles. So, I mean, is this just premature, this push right now?
Yeah, these were all really interesting and important questions. But I would say we know it's not premature because more Americans every single year choose electric than the year before. And if you look at the surveys, it is extremely rare for anybody who has gone electric to want to go back to the old gas car technology. Now,
I beg your pardon. I know several have said this does not cut it. I remember distinctly the head of Ford Motor Company taking one of his Ford EV vehicles, pick 'em up trucks, as we say down south, on a long trip and realize this isn't going to really work for the American consumer. So I know now why they're not interested. And why do you want to pay X thousands of dollars for an EV, knowing that in 6 to 7 years you're going to have to replace a battery, which is going to cost you about a third or so of what you paid to buy the car to begin with? And then where are the battery minerals? Right now, primarily in China and under China control. We have cobalt in our nation, in the Dakota region, and Montana, and Wyoming, but this government isn't going to allow any kind of mining for it here. So again, we're going to be dependent upon not only a foreign country, but an enemy. May I remind you again of a simple, simple fact? When Donald Trump, I don't care if you hate him with all the guts you have and you just want to see him wither and die. You want to be like the comedian Kathy, whatever her last name, we've already lost who she is, depicted herself with like a chopped off head of Donald Trump, holding it up by the hair and thinking it'd be really funny. And then complaining, I got canceled. They didn't like me anymore. No kidding. And no one wants to put their family in an EV and then realize that's not going to cut it. Bus companies in the Northeast that bought EV buses had to park a lot of them. They would not start, would not continue operating in really cold weather. I told you yesterday, I let you hear a report from Scotland about how the wind turbines were freezing up, so they had to unfreeze them, and the way they did it is they had to turn on and run diesel motors for hours on end to generate enough heat so they could defrost the wind turbine so they'd work again. Whatever you saved by using wind, it just got lost when you had to turn on the diesel turbine. And again, the bottom line is not accomplishing what they claim it is, but yet they continue. In fact, I've got another report right here in front of me. This is going to be good. This is a new study from UC Berkeley. They say, we've been promised that EVs will lead to a cleaner air. This Bay Area study just proved it. What's out of Berkeley? Well, am I surprised? I know you're not. They're saying electric vehicles have been praised as a key part of our transition to a low-carbon future, but the impact of EV remains admittedly a little intangible. Berkeley's even admitting that. Conversation around electric vehicles point to the future. If every new car and truck were electric, climate pollution would drop by 35% and prevent thousands of premature deaths by air pollution. That's their claim. But they actually asked the question, but are EVs having any impact now, and if so, how much? Well, here's the answer from the University of California, Berkeley. They got some answers. Between 2018 and 2022, CO2 emissions from all sources across the San Francisco Bay dropped about 1.8% annually. And they are, of course, giving credit to electric vehicles. There probably are a lot more electric vehicles in that area. Of course, you're going to run down the cars a little faster if you had to drive around homeless people out in the middle of the street. But they point out that a network of sensors around the San Francisco Bay Area monitoring CO2 and air pollution basically determined that the Bay Area is doing great. They have dropped their emissions by vehicles by 2.6% annually, pointing out last year electric cars, pickup trucks, and SUVs made up nearly 40% of new auto registrations in San Jose and 34% in San Francisco. It is not surprising to me that in that area they are seeing a great increase in EVs. I'm not surprised. Are you? Of course you're not, because you're looking at the realistic world that we have around us. But yet we still have folks that keep looking at all this and they just don't see it delivering what it says. In fact, there's a piece in The Guardian asking specifically, do electric cars have an air pollution problem? And this is part of a series that they've been doing exploring and EV transition and EV effects. And they point out that some people believe the shift to electric cars could reverse some of the progress we have made by cutting down pollution. That's the claim, obviously. But the UK and the Daily Mail reporting it basically says it is not going to do it because electric cars have to answer on roads and tires. Increased weight means greater wear. And a campaign group has calculated EVs are about 400 pounds heavier on average because of bulky batteries. It's even more than that. I'd make it 700 pounds. And they use more tires, and their emissions 1,800 times more than modern car exhaust. You can find information everywhere you want. Who do you want to believe? That's the key. Well, I say I want to believe what I know and I see in front of me. Coming up, more on the Hamas-Israel, and Biden might be talking to Netanyahu. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's pigeons now on Market Square. She's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. The night ball will be coming soon. Oh, my, my.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Today, a phone call that could alter the course of a war. The planned phone call between President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This will be the first call between the two leaders since that tragic incident where seven aid workers were killed in an Israeli strike in Gaza this week. Top White House officials are telling CNN that Biden is both angry and outraged about it. This morning, the founder of World Central Kitchen, who the aid workers work for, Chef Jose Andreas, is accusing Israel of systematically, his word, targeting the aid convoy car by car, and he is calling for an independent investigation into it.
Now, this is again the accidental strike. Israel admits it was not intending to kill those World Kitchen workers, but there was either a miscommunication as to the target or something of that nature. They're still investigating it. They could have just as easily said, yeah, well, there was a terrorist Hamas leader riding in the cars with them. They didn't take that approach. They're trying to be very direct and honest, saying, one, we made a deadly mistake. Tragic as it is, it's war. I don't like to say that that's, quote, collateral damage, but sometimes that happens. I know you have heard of friendly fire, where our own forces kill our forces. They don't intend to either. That is apparently what happened in killing these World Kitchen aid workers, part of the relief aid for Gaza, Palestinians trapped in Gaza because of Hamas. And Biden is angry and upset. Well, I don't imagine Benjamin Netanyahu is applauding and great that they killed innocent people. They know they're already doing it anyway as they try to get to some of the Hamas leaders. But I want to stress to you again, Israel did not come out and claim that there was a Hamas operative inside one of the vehicles. They could have done it. Who could disprove that? But now for the World Kitchen director saying, oh, they were targeting these vehicles. If you're going to strike a caravan and you're not sure if you are thinking it's got a leader or someone you're after, you're going to hit every vehicle in the caravan. Yeah, it was a target-by-target hit, just as it should be. But unfortunately and tragically, the wrong target. But now if Biden and Netanyahu are going to speak again, well, at least that's some start. And I just want to think about that report you were just listening to about Biden is angry and upset over it. I'm angry and upset that something like that would happen. These were people that went there to help those suffering, the hungry. They weren't there in a combative zone. It's much like a medic on a battlefield. But in those cases, sometimes the enemy wants to kill or severely injure the medic so they cannot help anyone else. In this case, they hit their target they were aiming for, but it turned out that was not the target they should have been hitting. And the investigation continues. And now Israel is reiterating that it does plan to enter Rafah in Gaza to destroy the remaining battalions of Hamas, is where they're holed up at last report, promising to, quote, achieve total victory. So Biden and administration of Israel have been at odds over entering Rafah. Israeli reportedly arguing with White House officials earlier this week that we've got to get in there. That's the only way to wipe out this terrorist group. A question was posed to the Israeli government spokesman. Is the humanitarian cost of the delay greater than the humanitarian cost would have been if Israel had entered Rafah right away and ended the war with victory? In other words, rather than talking about, we're going to do it, if they'd just gone ahead and done it by now. The Israeli spokesman did not answer specifically. He just said that when we do, it will be completion of our war against Hamas. We will destroy the remaining battalions. I said he, it's a she, I apologize. She said she could not put out 80% of a fire and leave 20% of it burning. None of us can. You get a house fire, the firemen arrive, they put out the major part of the fire, but there's still parts of the house that are burning that could be saved, and they pack up the hoses and leave. We put out most of it, but you didn't get all of it. That's exactly the way that Israel is looking at Hamas right now, and rightly so. She did also reiterate Israel's regret at the accidental killing of the 7 World Central Kitchen employees, and pointing out an investigation by the Israeli Defense Forces so far determined the airstrike might have been the result of a misidentification at night and in complex conditions. That could certainly be. But they did not systemically go after to kill these aid workers, as the World Kitchen aid president is claiming. They were targeting those vehicles, but they were not trying to kill the World Kitchen aid workers. For some reason, they had either a misidentification at night, complex conditions. It's the fog of war. I know that term gets thrown around, but it's a reality. And Biden just yesterday issued a statement in which he said, Israel has not done enough to protect aid workers trying to deliver desperately needed help for civilians. Israel has allowed ceasefires so we can get hostages released, and they're willing to do it again if Hamas would release remaining hostages, but they won't do it. Now, who do you want to blame? You want to blame Israel, right? Wrong. Which brings me to what you did in Afghanistan, President Biden. This is a report on CNNN. And I quote the source so you can check it out. CNNN claiming exclusive. State Department officials told House investigators they created the Afghanistan withdrawal plans from scratch. That's the headline. Well, that doesn't sound like a very well planned out withdrawal, does it? Let me read you the first few parts of it. Hours of closed door testimony from 3 top State Department officials shed new light on the unprecedented situation in the final days of U.S. presence in Afghanistan, as officials were rushed to the country with virtually no time to prepare, no established emergency evacuation plan in place when they arrived. Those 3 are identified and say they all were plucked from unrelated assignments and rushed in Afghanistan in the hours after Kabul fell to the Taliban. They had background and experience in Afghanistan, but they were walking in something they weren't prepared for. Trump was going to withdraw our troops in an orderly fashion, even gave a timetable to let the Taliban know when we would be moving out, but they had to meet certain conditions, and then we'd take a certain amount out. Biden just decided overnight, yank them out. Leave all of our equipment, our planes, everything else, get out of the airbase and get out. And that left a lot of Americans, citizens, maybe dual passport citizens, spread through Afghanistan without any help. It left a lot of Afghans that we had promised, because you helped our troops in the time we've been here over these 20 years, we will get you and your family out, because we know when we leave, the Taliban will come cut off the heads of you and your children. So we're going to take care of them. We didn't do that. That's why we had the congestion at the Kabul International Airport. That's why we had a perfect opportunity for a suicide bomber to walk up and detonate an explosive at Abbey Gate, killing 13 service members. And at one point, a sniper had the suicide bomber in his scope but could not get clearance in time to fire. I'm sure he personally lives with that every night, or she that's in our military, thinking, I could have stopped it. I could have stopped it, but nobody would get back to me in time. But the transcripts of these interviews, CNN claiming that they got it exclusively again, new details painting a picture of chaos, which we saw that by the video, saw that by people hanging on the planes lifting off. General Mark Milley has since admitted, he's now retired Joint Chiefs Chairman. He did that last month. It is my assessment the decision came too late, and the State Department was working too late. Didn't get word out to the Americans in country. But anyway, all three of these rushed to Kabul after the Taliban had seized the capital city and dove in to try to get U.S. military that was still there and American citizens and those we promised would get out as soon as we could. But one of them in the interview said, I cannot emphasize enough to you that minute to minute what was happening was changing. And I'm sure that is true. They say, she's quoted as saying in her report, we had to, quote, create from scratch tactical operations that would get our priority people into the airport. We were roughly as effective as we could be under the circumstances. Saying we were already in the middle of executing an evacuation, but everything was chaos. We were already in the midst of executing our evacuation that substantially exceeded, I think, the scope and scale of what we thought we would encounter. Can't blame them. They were airdropped basically into the area and said, go do it. Good luck. With Hillary Clinton even not being as president, thank God, we have Hillary Benghazi Clinton. And with Biden, we have Afghanistan Clinton. Biden. You know, there were many, many strange things, as you well know, happening during COVID. And in some cases, you might still be paying for some things you didn't know. You're just not noticing. You're not checking your bill close enough. Well, maybe you still are. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton. Cafe Napoli in Town and Country. Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know what I mean, right? Went to a restaurant last night and I got the bill and they charged me a COVID fee. And I asked the guy, I go, what's the COVID fee? He goes, yeah, well, we gotta wipe down the menus. Wipe down the menus. You're charging $3 to wipe down your own menus. Before COVID, what? You just brought out the menu with spaghetti sauce on it? Eliminate the COVID fee. And they charged me 3.5% credit card fee because I was using the credit card. It's a bad look. It's a real bad look as a business. Absorb the fee. It's called the cost of doing business. It ain't right.
That's Sebastian Maniscalco. He is a comedian. And talking about how COVID fees were being tacked onto various things we were buying during COVID and maybe still in place for some. I'll give you a perfect example that I do know that I saw for a fact, and you probably did too if you were taking taxi cabs at a particular time when we had our real concern about price of fuel and dwindling supplies before Trump came in. Remember the taxi cabs were allowed to start posting a gas surcharge because they couldn't afford the gas for the cars. Otherwise, they had to make additional money, and they put it up on the window so it's there for you to see. You're being charged extra because we have to pay more for our fuel. Gas surcharge. The situation changed gradually and got better, so we weren't facing the dire consequences and the cost of gas under Trump. But they continue to have the stickers in the window, and they would if you use your credit card or even right off the meter you're paying cash. There's already that charge still on there. We're past that. When bureaucrats put a tax in place, they don't plan on taking it back. They plan on increasing it. A little bit here, a little bit there, la-da-da-da, and pretty soon you're talking about real money, right? And it comes at you in so many, many different ways that you can't stay on top of all of it, doing the best you can. Coming up in the next segment, you don't want to miss Kenneth Abramowitz, our multi-front war defending America from everything, everything. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.